President Ronald Reagan confounded the conservation movement during his tenure, though he spent more energy and political capital on tax cuts and national defense than environmental policy. In retrospect, conservatives and liberals agree the Reagan administration's effect on air, land, and water may not be as dramatic as it seemed at the time. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold has this report.
Ronald Reagan considered himself an outdoorsman, a lover of nature. He was outraged to find that President Nixon had paved the horse trails at Camp David. Yet one of his first acts as president was to cut the White House Council on Environmental Quality from 50 positions to 8. If nothing else, his tenure with regard to the environment was controversial and colorful.
I sometimes suspect that the lobbyists for the environmental interests feel that they have to keep their constituents stirred up or they might not have jobs anymore.
In getting the Superfund into action on a number of sites has contributed to that perception, and the fact that you've been quoted in the past as talking about environmental extremism?
Well, there is environmental extremism. I don't think they'll be happy until the White House looks like a bird's nest.
Reagan is remembered by some as the man who set about expansion of the Redwood National Forest. A tree is a tree. How many more do you have to look at? But he's also remembered by others as the governor who protected Lake Tahoe, halted two huge dams, promoted stricter car emissions, and added 145,000 acres to California's park system. Governor Reagan and President Reagan, on the subject of the environment, were two decidedly different politicians. California Democrat Henry Waxman served under both, in the state legislature and then in Congress.
President Reagan didn't get involved in details, and he delegated responsibilities to whomever were he selected to be in the positions of authority. In California, he had some good choices, but in Washington, that all changed, and he turned to people who did a lot of harm to the public view of his administration. Whatever Reagan's personal views might have been, he left the policies in hands of people that were trying to move the clock back.
It's this chapter of his presidency that some environmentalists remember most. Anne Gorsuch Burford, Reagan's EPA chief, was forced to resign amid allegations that the agency mismanaged the Superfund program. And Rita Lavelle, who was in charge of it, went to prison, accused of lying to Congress. Interior Secretary James Watt was committed to opening up public lands to development. He resigned after making an off-color remark about a federal advisory panel. But across the political spectrum, there's agreement that none of this really added up to much in terms of policy. Former Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt.
You know, I tell people I'm kind of nostalgic for Jim Watt because it was all talk. Compared to what's happening today, it was a fairly quiet period. And Watt, you know, got out there kind of raking his fingernails on the blackboard and guaranteed that nothing would happen. And when he left, they just kind of put the place on automatic pilot.
Jerry Taylor, a free market advocate at the Cato Institute, has a similar assessment, although he would have liked some policy changes that matched the rhetoric.
You know, at the end of the day, how much did James Watt really affect as far as federal land management is concerned? You wouldn't know he was ever there. I think that if I were an environmental activist and I were looking at the record, I would be hard-pressed to fulminate about the 8 years of Ronald Reagan's presidency.
And in the later years, Reagan was praised by some, in particular for the treaty reducing the use of chemicals that destroy the ozone, and for calling attention to the hazards of radon gas and lead in drinking water. But his real legacy may be more in symbol than substance. His efforts toward reducing environmental regulation, for example, ended largely in stalemate. But he dubbed himself a sagebrush rebel and empowered Western state senators like Wyoming's Alan Simpson, who formed a coalition that met with him regularly.
Well, he listened to people. It wasn't a partisan issue, but he understood multiple use. He understood public lands. He understood grazing and leases and oil and gas leases. Boy, we finally had an ear.
And some much-needed political clout on those same issues. But as in other interviews with both supporters and detractors, Simpson quickly changed the subject from acid rain to tax cuts and the fall of the Berlin Wall, the more enduring and quantifiable Reagan legacy. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News.